Obama funds terrorist Iran with $400 million to buy hostages, giving memories of Jimmy Peanut Head's disaster, while Trump continues to get hammered by Muslim con defenders. Obama, like Carter, has to buy hostages from terrorists. In the meantime, Obama's creating a constitutional crisis by describing Trump as unprepared for the presidency and demanding he be removed by his own party. Further, Trump's own party, Smelling Blood, moves in to cannibalize him. But recall when a wise man said that when a true genius appears, you can know him by this sign, that all the dunces are in a confederacy against him. Jonathan Swift. There is no doubt now that Donald Trump has collected a ragtag group of true liberal imbeciles to fight him at every turn on both sides of the aisle. So Trump is battling dunces 24/7, and yet he keeps winning. For almost every GOP person who jumps ship and attacks Trump, they reveal themselves as secret liberals. The latest is Miss Whitman in California, who was a very good friend of Mitt Romney. She's a multi-billionaire. But Obama attacking Trump and demanding his replacement, this is way beyond the pale. Yet we've come to expect a litany of cheap shots from the morally and intellectually weakling Barack. But I do have a few questions. First, does anybody really think that being insulting is worse than Hillary's sins, such as starting a war in Libya that cost 25,000 Muslim lives, lying about emails and allowing her Secretary of State email to be unprotected and undoubtedly plundered of all of its secret data, running a fake charity, trading cash for speeches for her husband, and then changing U.S. policy, or constantly lying? How about being a greedy, bad-tempered lady with bad judgment? Is that worse than Trump? Finally, with Kaiser scammer Khan, he is a Harvard-trained lawyer specializing in the buying of U.S. visas for overseas Muslims. Further, he is an old Clinton operative who lives in D.C. The fact that his son died 12 years ago should be illuminating for skeptics. But let's be real, folks. Khan is not some grieving Muslim dad who just fell off the falafel wagon. Good morning, 609 Kelly O'Connell, and do have that shocking news for you that we paid a $400 million, almost a $500 million bribe for four U.S. hostages from Iran. But we do have a little bit of rain outside right now. We also have historic flooding going on in Arizona, supposedly once in a century flooding. So doesn't it seem like every week some places got a once in a lifetime flooding in the United States? All right. So anyway, the fact of the matter is, and by the way, the Arizona situation, there's still a flood alert. So I don't think that just in case you're traveling today, be very careful. And remember, between Tucson and Phoenix is only about an hour. So those are the areas I think that are getting the floods. And I've been kind of watching the Doppler radar last night and early this morning. So there were some heavy clouds passing over our town, and we got some rain. Spotty rain from around the city. But anyway, it's pretty, you gotta admit, it's absolutely shocking that the president traded this. And I'm not seeing it anywhere but Drudge and a little bit on Fox News. President traded. I honestly just find it so amazing. But here's a little bit on that report. The president, against U.S. law, trades $400 million to Iran. How much of that did they use to promote terrorist activities? And yet the real problem out there is Donald Trump insulting a Muslim. Anyway, it just never changes, you know. And Donald Trump has got to take a page from Ronald Reagan, and he's got to control his own narrative. Remember what Reagan did. Reagan spoke directly to the American people. He essentially bypassed the media through through live events, and he was able to control his own narrative. And Donald Trump cannot put his things into other people's hands who are totally opposed to him and expect to get a good outcome. Anyway, here's the $400 million to Iran, one of our greatest enemies.
We're going to get right to this now because the question is paying to play. A bombshell report reveals the U.S. secretly airlifted nearly $500 million in cash the day four American prisoners were freed.
The White House now insisting the money had nothing to do with returning our Americans home. It was not ransom money, they say.
Well, Leo Gabriel is live with some of these shocking details that appear in today's Wall Street Journal.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Well, the timing of the top secret deal raising red flags this morning. Many now questioning whether the U.S. funneled $400 million directly to a terrorist regime and that prisoner release, even though the U.S. claims they don't pay ransoms. Mm. You'll remember Iran freed four Americans, including a former Marine, in exchange for seven prisoners held in the U.S. The White House denying any connection between the January exchange and the midnight cash transfer. The tribunal at The Hague. The administration claims the money was the first part of a $1.7 billion settlement for a decades-old unfinished military equipment sale, but that doesn't explain why it was transferred in secret.
Yeah.
Why send an unmarked plane with wooden pallets filled with Swiss francs and other non-U.S. currency in the dead of night to arrive in Tehran just, by the way, by coincidence, on the very day that the hostages are released? And why keep it secret from Congress and the American people? They were giving them hard currency that they can use to fund terrorism, support the Assad regime in Syria, and advance their nuclear program. I think Americans would be pretty upset.
And all of this coming a year after the controversial nuclear deal. House Foreign Affairs Committee Chairman Ed Royce saying, quote, hundreds of millions in the pockets of a terrorist regime means a more dangerous region, period. And paying ransom only puts more American lives in jeopardy. We already know the Iran nuclear deal was a historic mistake. What else is the Obama administration hiding? And Brian, Anna, and Steve, in another shocking turn, the Obama administration handed this cash over after that situation where our sailors were captured in Iranian waters and forced on their knees to apologize.
Indeed.
Despicable and embarrassing for them.
All right. Leah, thank you very much. Now, keep in mind, the administration says it was not ransom money. Absolutely not. They say it was the money that we owe them as part of that 79 deal with the arms trade. But it's interesting. The U.S. officials say, according to the Wall Street Journal, that Iran wanted the cash in exchange from the Americans so they could show that they got something. And in the Iranian press, they call it ransom money. So the Iranians regard it as ransom money.
Yeah, and critics say that the White House's policy of appeasement, it has led Iran to illegally seize even more hostages. Take a look at this. For example, Iran's Revolutionary Guard has arrested two more Iranian Americans.
Yeah.
Iran has also detained dual nationals from France, Canada, and the UK in recent months. Now, whether it's ransom...
Because they got money last time, why not take more?
Right, it's essentially putting a bounty on Americans' heads abroad. But whether it's ransom money or it isn't, Governor Mike Pence says that this appeasement style of foreign policy the Obama administration is doing is bad, and Hillary Rodham Clinton would just do even more.
We cannot have four more years accommodating and apologizing to our enemies or abandoning our friends. America needs to be strong for the world to be safe, and Donald Trump will lead on the world stage from strength.
That's how you run a campaign. You respond to the headlines and the policy, and you say how you'll be different. Mike Pence is proven to be a godsend for the Trump ticket. Meanwhile, Hillary Clinton started these talks. It was her secret talks in Oman that launched this deal that was lauded at the Democratic National Convention, not talked about since, without firing a shot. We've stopped the nuclear program of Iran, which, by the way, without firing a shot and without breaking agreement, they can lift those. They can say we beat the sanctions and we can start our nuclear program and get the money. Iran is also asking for $2 billion that we froze due to sanctions back in 2009. And they are saying they are dissatisfied with this deal, even though we've given up the money. We've allowed them to do whatever they want with this money to bolster things like Hezbollah as they effort to get rockets that will be able to leap over Iron Dome and destroy Israel.
So you've got Donald Trump who said worst deal ever. And now as we look at it, it doesn't look too good now, especially if there was indeed, as the New York Daily News says today, Obama's secret $400 million Iran deal, which was ransom money.
Oh, it had to be ransom money because it was paid the same day. So, in other words, there was a agreement to hold those guys until the money came in. The money comes in. You can't make this stuff up. This president, who always in every situation is so, he's so bombastic. He's so full of himself. And here this guy is getting up saying that Trump is not fit to lead, that he doesn't have the experience. I mean, I'm trying to think of a, it's like a baby getting out of a stroller and going up to an adult and trying to challenge him on something. It's just crazy. All right. So 617 Kelly O'Connell AM Las Cruces. I do have the text machine back. 805-6180 is your texture. 231450 to call in, but it's just amazing. And I've got a little blast from the past from Jimmy Carter. Barack Obama is doing the same thing as Jimmy Carter. Why? Doesn't even Barack Obama have a brain to put two and two together? These socialists think they're far beyond regular human beings, and they don't need logic or history. They throw it in the garbage. All right, we'll be right back. 523-1450 and 805-6180 to text. You're listening to AM Las Cruces on AM 1450 KOBE. Kelly O'Connell. We're going to come back and dig into a little Jimmy Peanut Head.
I'm strained. In case I go on the ground, get some heavy rest. Never have to worry about what is worth or what is best. Just
it's 6:21. I'm going through. I couldn't find my text machine for about a week. Came in late listening, and I heard about buses. How about converting one to another mobile neutering van, or maybe a big one as a paddy wagon? Well, too bad Patty is not around anymore. She could drive it. Whatever happened to Patty, I wonder. And Mike, for that matter. All right, so I've got too many things to cover today. I'm just going to keep going from topic to topic, one of which is United Nations plans or is encouraging countries to tax meat until it's too expensive to eat. The left is insane, folks. Now, we've got President George W. Bush criticizing Trump's policies at a GOP fundraiser. So this guy would not criticize Obama for 8 years. The only people that he attacks are his own party. But that's this modern neocon movement, you know. They think they're more pure than anybody else. So they'll kill their own, you know. They'll cannibalize their own. They'll eat their own young instead of standing up for them. Pretty sick. All right. I'm going to squeeze this in right now. What really caused the Islamic Revolution of Iran? Remember, at one time, Iran was led by the Shah. The Shah was a very smart guy. Did he have a perfect regime? No. But remember, all of these countries in the Middle East are led by strong men. Why? Because they don't have a modern understanding or development of politics. And so they don't. Well, one of the great things that America did and Europe developed after the wars of religion and everything is we decided that we were going to solve our differences politically at the ballot box and religiously in private. And it's created the greatest, most productive regimes in history. And now all of that is being challenged. It's, you know, it's pretty sad, to be honest. I mean, just to see this everything in, that we've worked so hard for thrown down the toilet just amazes me. That there's nothing that's worth saving. But anyway, so Jimmy Carter makes a deal with the Shah, but the Ayatollah. And this deal resulted in the Shah of Iran being kicked out like a mouse, a dead mouse, according to Mike Evans, who wrote this book. And so this led to all of the current strife that we deal with today, Muslim Brotherhood, which gave rise to Al-Qaeda, which gave rise to ISIS, all comes back to this stupid idiot Jimmy Carter. And if it wasn't for Carter, the Ayatollah would have never gotten back into power. We would have an ally instead of an enemy. We wouldn't have to be sending over hundreds of millions of dollars to buy back four people, $100 million each. Let's check it out.
Americans don't know is that in 1976, President Jimmy Carter orchestrated the change of power in Iran that replaced the Shah of Iran with a government led by Ayatollah Khomeini. I tell the entire shocking story about this in my new book, Jimmy Carter, The Liberal Left in World Chaos. I detail how a single decision made in the name of false hope changed the entire structure of the Muslim world and led to the establishment of the fanatical extremist movement that is responsible for terrorism around the world today. The former president of the United States supported the funding of an Islamic cleric who attempted to assassinate America's strongest Muslim ally, the Shah of Iran, and birth an Islamic revolution. Sums of $150 million were being periodically transferred to Paris into the Ayatollah Khomeini's bank account while he was in exile with the assistance of the CIA. Carter told world leaders at a summit meeting of his plan to overthrow the Shah of Iran and that Khomeini would be taking over and was a Gandhi-like figure. On April 1st of the following year, this Gandhi-like figure proclaimed the first day of the government of God in Iran. It was the birth of the Islamic Revolution. On Inauguration Day 1980 at 4:31 a.m., he secretly wire-transferred $7.9 billion to buy the American hostages back after 144 days of humiliation. He deposed the Shah of Iran. He conspired to a Guadeloupe summit to overthrow the Shah of Iran. The president of France told me he was a bastard of conscience. He showed up in Guadeloupe with the French and the Germans and told us.
And next thing you know, the Ayatollah Khomeini comes over from France, takes over, and nothing's been the same in that region. But how does that relate to Barack Obama?
With terrorists and journalists. Peter Jennings was on the plane.
This is from 2010, by the way. These are the kind of idiotic decisions this president has made that is destabilizing the entire world, giving billions of dollars to the number one sponsor of terror in the world, Iran. And we're just supposed to sit back and say what a great president Obama, the incompetent, has been. Pardon me, but I think I'll disagree on that one.
France. How does it relate to Obama? Obama has an ideological worldview similar to Jimmy Carter.
Talk to Iran. Talk to our enemies.
Reason with these people. This is really, Jimmy Carter rejected preemption. He rejected the Nixon doctrine. By the way, he was elected on change and hope, and he ran against an unpopular president and an unpopular war. Watergate, Vietnam, Nixon.
And the funding of what would now be known as Al-Qaeda really started during the Carter years.
Listen, when Carter conspired to overthrow the Shah, and he succeeded, the Empress of Iran, Farah, told me, when he succeeded, Brezhnev said, if you do this, we will invade Afghanistan. They did. The invasion, the Shah told his wife, I fear that horror will come upon the world if he does this, because I fear that the Russians will invade Afghanistan, and Saddam Hussein will invade us, and the radical Islamics will become an epidemic, and they did.
The mind is all this, set up all the organization. I know that
this is
one man alone could not.
This is the Shah of Iran talking. And sorry about that little microburst of sound there. But all right, so the rest of this is an interview with the Shah. So anyway, Barack Obama has done the same stupid mistake, only he's done it at even a larger scale. He he has gone and made a treaty with these people. He talked the world into backing him because the world doesn't really have much leadership outside of the United States anyway. And we gave them, we released hundreds of billions of dollars that was being held around the world because they're a terror state. Do you understand that when the Shah of Iran left, Iran went back in time 1,000 years and or more? And so we're dealing with stuff that should have been stopped. This you know, conversion by the sword, Sharia, et cetera, should have been stopped so long ago. And we, you know, we're playing patty cake with these people. And so when that, and then we send $400 million in cash, in euros and Swiss francs, at night in an unmarked plane, and they never told the government about it. And you think, you know, remember they never told the Senate or the House about it, never got permission. Don't forget that that Obama got up and said it would be so much nicer if he didn't have to go through Congress. Well, he has done his entire presidency outside of Congress. 630 Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523-1450 to call in, and 805-6180. We're going to have more and more information coming out on this. So, but I've got a lot of other stories to get to, too. So we'll take a break and come right back. I said, oh. So we're talking about this situation in Iran, and we're going to switch gears in a minute. But I want to get into a little bit more of this story of how Jimmy Carter had caused what we're struggling with today was caused by Jimmy Carter, because he put down the foundation. He took, and it was an illegal wire transfer, $7.8 billion. Think about that. So we had 144 hostages over there for 144 days. When Ronald Reagan was elected into office, they released these hostages. And then Jimmy Carter spread the false, or his people spread the false rumor that basically it was caused by a bribe sent by Reagan when Carter had done it. But Carter has caused so much chaos and so many problems around the world. And because he was a do-gooder who didn't have any common sense, he didn't have any insights. But here's a little bit more on who they're calling the bastard of conscience, Jimmy Carter. And Mike Evans wrote a book on how he gave the Ayatollah Khomeini about $650 million, which was used to kick off the Iranian Revolution, get rid of the Shah, and bring in such groups as the Muslim Brotherhood, Al-Qaeda, and eventually ISIS.
Liberal left in world chaos, a Carter-Obama plan that will not work. Author Mike Evans makes the case that Jimmy Carter's potential influence in the current debate over Middle East policy could have catastrophic results for the United States and the world. Evans calls Carter the godfather of world chaos because he says Carter created the firestorm that destabilized our greatest ally in the Muslim world, the Shah of Iran, in favor of the Ayatollah Khomeini. Evans traces the war in Iraq and the war on terror back to the policies of Jimmy Carter. And he warns if the Obama administration follows in Carter's footsteps, there will not be peace and Israel will be sacrificed.
Well, joining us now from our Washington, D.C. studio is investigative journalist and author Mike Evans. His new book is called Jimmy Carter, The Liberal Left in World Chaos. Mike, I understand this book's in a third printing already.
It is, Pat, and it's great to see you, my friend.
Thank you. Listen, you're really tough on Carter in this thing. Did Carter really give, was it $50 million to the Muslim Brotherhood?
He really did. You know, the Muslim Brotherhood didn't have the money or the arms to create the Taliban and Al-Qaeda. Carter launched it because when he destabilized Iran, the Russians said, we're going to invade Afghanistan if you do this. They did. And so he ran to Cairo with Cyrus Vance to fund the Muslim Brotherhood, which Osama ended up on the payroll. But by the way, worse than that, Pat, he funded Khomeini in Paris, checks of $165 million four times to Khomeini while he was there 4 months. So Khomeini and journalists and have a radical Islamic revolution.
Wait a minute, Mike. You say that Carter gave through his administration $165 million four times to Khomeini?
Yeah, they did. They did it. They did it through operatives. I talked to one of the operatives who was carrying the money.
I don't know if you can hear this. The sound just went down, but
he did. He was funding terror. He should be accused of treason, but he won't.
Well, Khomeini came in as a great hero, and Carter acted like he didn't have anything to do with it. But you say his fingers were all over the money.
Carter believed that Khomeini was a Gandhi-like figure. That's what Andrew Young told him. Carter planned the overthrow of the Shah by George Ball, his advisor. I met with the French. I met with the Israelis. I met with operatives in the United States. Carter believed he had a worldview that Islamic state would be okay. By the way, there was a president Friday who thought the same thing in his speech.
Well, this.
All right. I don't know how the sound quality is on this thing, but anyway, you get the idea. Jimmy Carter was persuaded that the Ayatollah Khomeini, one of the most violent and radical Muslims in the world, was a person like Gandhi, a peace lover, a pacifist. And so they backed him coming into office. Now we've got another country that's turning into a Muslim hotbed, and that is Turkey. And we're backing them up 100% as they do a complete bloodletting. They're just stripping away all the institutions of the republic over there, and they're going to refit it as a Muslim nation. It's very scary. We'll take a break right here and come back. Let's switch gears and talk about Khan, the wrath of Khan. Kelly O'Connell, 805-6180, to text 523-1450. You're listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE, and we'll be right back.
There's no argument at all. Yeah, I love you, never hear from him. That just made it didn't call.
Okay, speaking of weather, and it has been raining out there. There's quite a bit of puddling near the studio here. And I'm looking out the window. It doesn't look like it's raining right this second here, but there's heavy clouds out there. Okay, so flash flooding, they're calling it flooding, 100-year flooding, which I don't know if that's true, but I just heard that on the radio driving in. In Phoenix, monsoon storms in Arizona hit the valley hard on Tuesday, causing flash flood and water rescues, and an elderly woman rescued from her car, et cetera. In Phoenix, two high schools in southern Arizona evacuated. Arizona Department of Transportation closed Interstate 17 at Indian School. Flash flood warning issued by the National Weather Service for Maricopa County until 8:15 Tuesday. So this is from yesterday. They still have a flood warning up on when I looked it up on Google. And let's see what else. So between Tucson and Phoenix, they've had a lot of rain. And this is from ABC 15. East flood watches issued for much of eastern Arizona. Flash flood watches in Tucson have been issued for much of eastern Arizona due to forecast rain and thunderstorms for monsoon activity. Watches cover much of Apache and Navajo counties on the north and extend south through through Graham and Greenlee counties to Cochise County and East Pima and Santa Cruz counties. And, all right. So anyway, just to let you know, especially if you're headed in those directions. And, let's see here. Okay. So, and this is from yesterday, Weather Service issues flood watches for much of New Mexico, which would still be going on. All right. So anyway, we're in that time of the year, and thank God we're getting a little bit of rain. All right. So let's – okay, so you understand my point. Obama is making the same exact mistakes as Carter, only I think Obama understands Islam much better than Carter does because he came out of Islam. He was raised at some point of his life. He went to a madrasa. Think about this. As a child – being trained about Islam, living with a Muslim dad in Indonesia. And I just think that is kind of an amazing thing. There's so many things about this guy that were covered up by the media that you never heard about because they're backing him. Now we have to listen to all this stupid stuff about Trump and Khan going back and forth. At the same time, though, we've got giant problems that are coming out of the Hillary Clinton camp. And I don't know. I mean, do I blame Trump for this? I don't even know. I didn't hear anything that he said that was that that terrible. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, he needs to be a little bit more careful, but if the media and all of the political class hate his guts, I mean, it's just going to go from one thing to another. All right, here. So here in locally in our state, New Mexico governor hits Trump over remarks on Gold Star family. New Mexico Governor Susana Martinez, the only Latina governor and chair of the Republican Governors Association, is joining with others in the party and outside to criticize Trump. And she on Monday called Army Captain Humayun Khan an American hero and distanced herself from Trump. I mean, how much farther can she distance herself? She's already not endorsed him. All right, this guy was killed by suicide bombers in 2004. What do you think about this thing coming up? One of the interesting things is that the father is not just a law graduate. He is a graduate from Harvard University. Think about that. The father who got up there and pretended that the Gold Star was in the Constitution and actually has a Harvard law degree. You know that he knew that there was no Gold Star in the Constitution, that he's kind of standing up there and shaking back and forth. I'd like to know if Obama went to school with this guy because they would have both had a Muslim background. All right. So anyway, Martinez says Captain Khan is an American hero. He laid down his life for his country and left behind two grieving parents who have every right to voice their opinions in the political process. Disparaging them is absolutely wrong and completely uncalled for. Did he? Okay. So he went after the dad and said, you don't even know me and you're continually attacking him. So, all right. There's some sort of a connection between this Khan guy and the Clintons. Will the mainstream media ever develop this? And other questions. 12 years later, this is not a recent event. Does it make you suspicious that these guys are selling this story on the TV 12 years later? Now, I know you're going to say this. Kelly, a parent never stops grieving. That may be true, but it doesn't mean that these people got up on the stage to grieve. It may have been a political hit job on Trump that he walked right into. All right, so we'll come back, and I'm going to get into Obama's criticism. Well, I'm going to get into Khan a little bit more. I'll see if there's any. Well, anyway, we're going to get into a little bit more Khan because I want you guys 523-1450 to help me figure this thing out. We'll be right back. AM Las Cruces, AM 1450. 523-1450 to call in, 805-6180 on KOBE to text. That doesn't mean I would rather not. got a little clip for you here from a Navy SEAL. There's been three elections since the son was killed. Cons are part of the Clinton machine. Check this out. This guy's name is Rob O'Neill. He's the former Navy SEAL Team 6 leader, talking about the feud between Trump and Con. All right, look, this is what I think. Trump needs to back off fighting with these little players. Trump fights with Hillary. Trump fights with Bill. Trump fights with Obama. Those should be his targets. Let your proxies. And another thing that I would do is I would name Newt Gingrich as the head of my campaign and share that with Paul Manafort, because I think Paul Manafort is kind of overwhelmed. Anyway, check this out from this SEAL Team 6 leader.
Me now, the former SEAL Team 6 leader who killed Osama bin Laden, Rob O'Neill, joins us, also a Fox News contributor. Rob, great to have you.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me, Lou.
This clash between Khan and Trump and the extraordinary words, I believe, at least from Khan about Trump, a man who he doesn't know, and the national liberal media's reaction
sure. Is
amazing. Your thoughts?
Well, I would say there are a few things more precious than a Gold Star family, especially a Gold Star mom. And I don't think anyone should ever outlive their children. You know, I obviously I'm not old enough to have children in the military, but to see it get politicized the way that it is, because you've got it on both sides. Right. You've got it with Mrs. Smith, who lost her son, Sean, in Benghazi,
right.
Who, you know, he died there. And there's not a lot about that. But then, you know, you have Captain Khan, who, you know, he died in 2004. I wasn't there, but from what I've read and what I've heard, he died a hero's death. He died Absolutely. A warrior's death. And just even having been in situations
protecting
like,
his men,
of course, it's saving lives. You know, if I had been in his situation and saw people politicizing my sacrifice and what I'd done, I'd be a little bit disappointed in him, because that's not what it's all about. He died a hero, and it shouldn't be at this.
And as we move forward here, what we're talking about is radical Islamist terrorism. And that seems to get pushed to the side.
Well, they're even using it. You saw that ISIS is saying, regardless of Mr. Khan, the elder saying that it's a religion of peace, they're laughing at him saying, it's not a religion of peace, and your son died an apostate, who's either a former believer or, you know, a non-believer, infidel. That apostate's a better way to say it. And they're just kind of jumping in there because they know we'll spin it up with all this politics. Mr. Khan should be saying, what can we do to defeat this? Because he is a Muslim, Pakistani-born, and all the work that he's done in Saudi Arabia, especially with bringing in migrants, we should be using people like Mr. Khan to how are we going to defeat radical Islam, as opposed to yelling at each other back and forth.
But that isn't what he's focusing on, and that's unfortunate.
It is unfortunate. They shouldn't be politicizing it. And there was no mistake that he came out for the Clintons. You know, he's worked with the Clintons before, and there's been three presidential elections since his son was killed. And he could have come out for this is the one he decided to come out for. This is part of the Clinton machine. It's no mistake that Mr. Trump was interviewed by George Stephanopoulos either. He's in the Clinton camp as well, and this is how Clinton politics work.
All right, so this guy works with the Clintons. He was paid by Saudi Arabia. He is a lawyer. He's a Harvard lawyer. So he gets up on the stage and he's stumbling with his English. And I'm thinking, I find out the guy's a lawyer, and I'm thinking, how does this guy get through law school? He's obviously a lot more sophisticated than he comes across. I mean, he might as well have been up there in overalls with a pitchfork or something, you know. Mahsoon was killed. And instead, he knows that there's no gold star in the Constitution. He ought to be ashamed of himself to do that. He's got a company that sells citizenship in America to Muslims for money. Now, if you get into the visa, and I used to teach this down in El Paso with a friend of mine, just do classes on visas and stuff like that, the visa system. There are visas that you can get if you have enough money to invest. So all these wealthy people around the world, we want them to come in here and invest. But at the same time, you've got even radicals who, in theory, could buy their way into America. And they say that this Khan guy, you know, that he was involved in that. And then he took the website down. He's got a law office in New York, but his phone is in D.C. He's a political operative here. Somebody asked me to play this yesterday. Here it is, The Wrath of Khan. And this is a Star Trek movie. Hold on a second here. Got to take the mute button off.
I shall leave you as you left me, as you left her, marooned for all eternity in the center of a dead planet.
filthy con job. So anyway, we got con, but you know, it's up to Trump. There's two choices here, and Hillary Clinton is radically compromised. She's part of, from what I've found out in the last few weeks, last few months, part of a scam charity that has put billions of dollars into the pockets of her and her family, only gives 10% of the donations to the supposed goal, 10% spent on charity. And now she is, she's out of her mind. She can't stop lying. She's a pathological, she's got to be a psychopath or something. Trump, it's his opportunity to stand up for freedom. He's got to do it. He's got to knock all the nonsense off. We'll be back after a break on the hour. We'll carry it, pick it up again.
Romeo, my Romeo, there you go. Hey, all right, say it again. Oh, oh, oh. Hey, hey, I said,
all right. Do you want to hear Obama's denunciation of Trump? I find it kind of sickening. You have to listen to that. I mean, for him to get up. Obama's got a right to his opinion. And even I guess a president has a right to free speech. But for him to get up and state that Trump needed to be removed from his own party, I think, is a constitutional issue. What right does Obama have to get up and misuse, as he always does, the presidential bully pulpit to go after Trump? Now, you might say, well, Trump is obviously the next Hitler. He's got a moral duty. He's got a duty to America to do this. Does Obama act like he's got a duty to help America in general? I mean, what has Obama done to help, that just unambiguously help America? Even the stuff that you might say was meant to help America has backfired. Open borders policy, reset with Russia, which is a total disaster. The Middle Eastern Muslim Spring, leading from behind. Obamacare, statistics are in, policies are up all across the United States, even though they were supposed to be lower. Can't keep your doctor, can't keep your hospital. You can't even keep your insurance because insurances have been canceling left and right. Illinois just canceled its state entity to provide Obamacare. Now everything is defaulting to the president, the federal government. So does the president have any room to criticize anybody else? He stated that Trump, I feel like I got to play this thing, even though I don't want to waste the time. Listen to this. It's just so infuriating. I'm thinking it's like the world's most unfit, unready president getting up and pointing a finger at somebody else. The idea, and he's he always does this in front of, his dream scenario is to fly to another country and trash America and trash Americans. Well, I'm about to play this, but I do have a phone call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Good morning, Kelly. I haven't talked with you in a while. This is Jim. How you doing?
Jim, what's going on?
Kelly, I'm 70, maybe 75 years old, voted ever since I could. Never in my life have I ever, ever heard of a president interfering in an election.
Yeah.
This guy,
he's nuts.
Cannot stand the thought of his agenda being done away with, because Hillary's going to just carry it further.
Yeah, but I mean, this idea, he's going to stand up. Can you turn down your radio? He's going to stand up.
I don't have that.
Well, we got feedback and echo.
Yeah.
The idea that he's going to stand up for another party while he's in office in the opposite party and demand that they get rid of their elected nominee is, I've never heard of it before. The media is not reacting to it at all. It's a misuse of his power. When he's in office, he's supposed to be everybody's president. He's getting involved in the political process, and he is trying to throw an election. And I mean, this is just the craziest thing I've ever seen, and nobody's even reacting to it.
Well, I just reacted because I think it's disgusting to think the president, supposedly a president, which he's not, is interfering in an election. I mean, this is absolutely ridiculous.
How does this guy think that he would come into office, pretend to be totally unbiased? He's beyond bias. He's beyond race. He's beyond party. When he's, his entire presidency has been ultra partisan, and think that he's going to have a positive impact on America. Once again, he's only a partisan. He lowered himself so far down, he'll never, ever be seen by anybody who has a clear mind as being a great leader.
That's absolutely correct, Kelly. You know, I'll let you go on that,
okay,
that statement, but I'm just appalled by this guy. I mean, this is probably as low as you're going to get.
It is. Thanks for the call. All right, so let me – thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Kelly, it's Ralph again.
Hey, Ralph, day three. What's up?
Hey, Kelly, you and this gentleman that just called in, you're being awful rough on poor old Obama.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
You know, just give me a minute. I'll be off here. He's a mulatto. The whites didn't want him because he had black blood in him. The blacks didn't want him because he had white blood in him. His mother shipped him out of the country. He couldn't even get his grades published because God only knows what they were. He hasn't even operated a shoeshine stand. The poor guy is in limbo. He's lost. Now that he has a little bit of authority, he doesn't know what to do with it. And he's just, in my days, now this is old, this gentleman here was 70-some years old. I'm way after 80. In my days, he was less valued than a cockroach. That's a fact. I mean, that is a fact. You remember Booker T. Washington, blacks, Alameda, whites, Grandview, Hispanics. And there was no place for the mulattos.
All right, so
that is the fact here in Las Cruces.
All right, so and the summary of your insights is what?
He has the worst of the white and the worst of the black. What can you expect from him?
I at this point, I don't expect anything but one heartache after another. I'm just praying he somehow gets out of office without starting World War III.
I agree with you there. I agree 100%. Other than Lincoln, this is the worst president I have ever read about or been around. I've been around since Roosevelt quite a few years,
mm-hmm,
more than 10 years. And this man, even worse than Carter, this is absolutely, I've never heard anything like this. The mess that he's got the United States in, never in my life. And like I said, I've been around over 80 years.
He's terrible. And I thought, after he got reelected, I thought, I won't mention this guy's name again. It's just too painful. But every single week he's done, got a new dumb stunt that he's pulled. $400 million to the Iranians, the number one sponsor of terrorism in the United, in the world. And he's returning $150 or $200 billion more to them. And there's, we don't get anything out of this deal, but everybody is, you know, people from around the world standing up to defend the, you know, it's just like, it's like there's no common sense. There's no independent thought. And we're raising a generation of kids. Here we got the second worst education system in the United States, supposedly. But across this great land, we're raising kids without any common sense, without the ability to think for themselves, free thought, logic. And then these kids get up and they're the most self-righteous and outraged people in history to fight for their whatever hobby horse they're on, gay marriage or whatever. It is an outraged generation that is totally bereft of any information, any way to process independently other than to absorb propaganda. It's the scariest thing I've ever seen.
Took the words right out of my mouth.
Thanks for the call. Have a good day.
Exactly.
All right. I hate to say that, but I mean, it's not about having the worst or second worst education system in the United States. It's about the fact that I see these, you can call them millennials or whatever, but these people that are kind of constitutionally, they're raised left to you know, like raising a fish in water. And these kids are raised far on the left, and then they get up and they're like crusaders, only they're fighting for gay marriage. That's just one example. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
This is Donna.
Donna, hold on. I've got another call. I'll be right back. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, Kelly, this is Neil.
Yeah, Neil, let me put you on hold. I'll be right back. Donna, go ahead. Give me 1 minute.
I'm just wanting to say that last night I went over to Tel Shore Theaters and saw Hillary's America, and it has the whole history of the Democratic Party.
Yeah.
And it is excellent. If anybody hasn't seen it yet, I just implore you to go see it.
It's D'Souza, right?
No wonder that, yeah, the Democrats, they have just turned our history totally around and are telling lies. So we need to get the truth out there.
Good.
So if you know of any Democrats, take them.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Thanks for the call. Yeah, Neil, thanks for the call. Go ahead.
Hey, Kelly, sorry to change the subject slightly. I want to pick a bone with something that Ralph said.
All right.
You know, the Republican Party has a few racists in it, but because of those few racists, those few bad apples, the Democrats are able to successfully paint us all with a broad brush as racists. I think Ralph's comments about mulatto Americans was disgusting, and he needs to rethink his position.
All right.
That's all I wanted to say.
Thanks a lot, Neil. Have a good day. All right. You need to update your files, according to Neil. Don't use the term mulatto. Use chocolate milk or milk chocolate. So Obama gets raised by white people and he acts black. So, but he doesn't really act that black to me. But he's a typical con artist. Whatever he can get his hands on in terms of like manipulating people. And by the way, I don't make it my job. If you want to call up and share your opinion, I prefer if you don't do it with, obscenities. But I don't make it my job to try to convert people out of their opinions. I just want to know what people's opinions are. So somebody calls up and they appear to be a racist, that's on them, you know, free speech. All right, 717 AM Las Cruces, AM 1450. I'm not saying that I ratify it either, but I just am so sick of this political correctness. I am tired of people who hear things that they disagree with of a certain topic coming up to these other people and saying how offended they are. And I'm so offended. You're racist. You're anti-woman. You're anti-this. You're anti-that. Why don't you mind your own business? In the meantime, why don't all of the Christians get out there and start telling other people who aren't Christians how offended they are by their non-spiritualism? Ben Morrison, Wavelength, Kelly Otto, 718. AM Las Cruces, AM 1450. I've got weird news. I feel a deep debt to get some weird news out there, but I don't know if I'm going to make it. We'll be right back. 523-1450 to call and 805-6180 to text.
This is a song about your wavelength and my wavelength.
This song is about radio, by the way. Superb song.
You turn me on when you get me on your wavelength now, yeah. With your wavelength, flow with your wavelength. With your wavelength.
It's Kelly. It's Kelly.
Hey, Kelly, this is Neil.
Yeah, what's up?
Hey, my friend. Look, I don't know if you took what I said the wrong way, but
I didn't take it the wrong way. Neil, I'm trying to explain why I don't make it my job to correct other people's opinions. I want to know what people's opinions are. If I feel like arguing with them, I will, but I'm not a PC monitor.
For the good of the party, you couldn't identify his racist comments?
I don't know what party he's in.
Well, I mean, obviously he sounds conservative, anti-Obama.
But, Neil, you understand I'm not making myself a filter, or I'm not putting on the PC hat and going around and challenging everybody to have the right opinion. I believe in free speech and free belief.
Why in the hell is it PC to say that somebody's comments are disgusting?
Well, you're...
Look,
you're,
I'm not any more PC,
Neil,
than anybody else,
Neil,
and I hate PC,
Neil,
but you've
Neil,
got to be kidding
Neil, no,
me.
No, 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 hold
there
on a second.
A
hold
line
on.
That
Neil,
has to be drawn
Neil,
somewhere.
Hold on. Hold on. In your self-righteous anger, I allowed you to get up on the air and correct him, right?
Oh, Kelly, come on.
Here, get, a,
really
get a light, Neil.
Stand up,
Neil,
have
a
backbone,
life.
For God's sake.
Neil, please.
PC doesn't mean
get
that
a,
you can't.
A,
you
get
can
a grip.
Freaking say anything you want, no matter how
no,
bad
I
it
never
is.
Said that. Am I allowing people to talk about murdering other people? Neil, I disagree with you on this.
All right, so you don't think his comments were
Neil, do you
racist.
Want to bring your comments on the air, and I'll debate you on the air? Let's do it.
What, right now?
Yeah.
Sure, absolutely.
AM Las Cruces on KOVE.
All right, folks, we're back. 7:22. We've got Neil. Neil is exasperated with me. He feels like I needed to stand up and put Ralph in his place about making comments about Mulatto. Let me just say for the record, number one, I've already stated I don't feel like it's my job to filter other people's thoughts or beliefs, like I said. And also, I am sick of the PC movement. I believe that free speech trumps free speech. And Neil's on the line with me here. Free speech and free expression and belief trump the PC filter. But I also believe there is a point where you do have to stand up and people advocating violence and that type of thing. So go ahead, Neil.
Well, certainly I agree with the First Amendment also, but I also agree that a healthy debate is calling out bad, evil, whatever, when it's blatant. I mean, come on, what Ralph said about Mulattoes, the worst of the blacks, the worst
no,
of the whites.
All right, so,
I mean, his insinuation is disgusting.
Neil, this is what I took what he, maybe I interpreted it differently as you. I'm listening to him. I took it to be a sociological observation that that's how Mulattoes are treated.
I don't think
or
that's
were
what
treated.
He was saying.
That, or were
I think
treated.
It's pretty clear what he was saying.
What was he saying?
But let me say this, though. I'm sorry, are you trying to say something?
No, but I'm saying one of the reasons I didn't react is I was kind of listening. You know, and Ralph said he's in his 80s. I was kind of listening to him. I thought what he was getting at was that Mulattoes were treated a certain way. And so I guess there was a connection between that in the day they were treated a certain way that Obama doesn't have the, I don't know. I mean, I guess there could be an insulting connection there. I was just kind of listening to see where he went with it.
He made it very clear that when he made his comments about Mulattoes, he made it very clear in connecting it to Obama and how he feels about him. He wasn't talking about psychology at all.
No, not psychology. Sociology, that's how Mulattoes were treated in the day.
He did mention that, but he connected it to his present disgust for Obama and who he is. He's the worst of the worst. And he had to throw in there that they're worse than cockroaches. I just thought that was disgusting. By the way, the reason I brought it up is not to be PC. It's to stand up for what's right and wrong and to help the party. The party right now
wait a minute.
Suffering.
Yeah, okay.
Because,
but, all right, hold on a second. I don't believe that that Trump is a racist, because every time I hear him talk about race, with something with a racial connection to it, it's very specific. We've got testimony from people that are black and from females who said he treated me very well. He treated me like a member of his family. He did whatever he could to help me. And I think when Trump says stuff like they're sending rapists over there, he could have expressed it more artfully. But I never heard Trump say that all Mexicans are rapists. And I never heard him say that all Muslims were bad people. He said, let's stop the Muslim immigration until we can figure out what's wrong with our immigration system. Go ahead.
Yeah, I totally agree. I don't think he's a racist either. But my point, though, is that they can, through inference, they can identify him as racist. Is that right or wrong? It's absolutely wrong. It's demagoguing. But when you have a real-life Republican voicing his opinion over the radio, racist comments,
who?
Blatantly racist
who?
Comments, that's what gives
who?
Them the fuel to say, see, all the racists are in the
Neil,
Republican Party.
Neil, who is the real-life Republican voicing racist thoughts?
Ralph, obviously.
I don't know what party Ralph is in. Why do you keep calling him a Republican?
Come on.
I have no idea. Listen,
you
Ralph.
You can tell the guy's conservative
thinking. Neil, hold on a second. Ralph has said things on both sides of the aisle before. But anyway, let's assume that he is a Republican. So it's my job to tell him to stand down to purify the Republican Party.
If you have any guts, plus this is your opinion radio. You can
Neil,
say what your opinion is.
Neil, you know what? I mean, yeah, you're right. I don't have any guts. I'm on the air every day giving my opinion for 2 hours a day, but I don't have any guts. Anything else, Neil?
Have a nice day.
Yeah,
Kelly.
I don't agree with you, so I don't have any guts. Thank you. Come on, folks. Maybe I missed my chance to go toe-to-toe with Ralph there, but I was somewhat, I don't know, maybe I'm tired this morning, but we've got both lines lit up. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. I'll put you on hold. Thanks for the call. I'll put you on hold. Thanks for the call. Who's this?
This is Roger.
It's who?
Roger.
Yeah, Roger. Go ahead. I've got three calls at once. Go ahead.
I just want to say that I agree with Neil that there's a few racists everywhere in every place, and there's a few in the Republican Party, and I think one of them is Donald Trump.
What about racists on the...
I agree with them there.
Roger, what about racist? It seems like there's racism in the Democratic Party in those emails.
Right, exactly. That's what I said. There's few everywhere.
All right. So do you feel like I missed an opportunity to put Ralph in his place? I mean, he did call Obama cockroach. He called him a mulatto.
No, that was fine. I think you did okay.
Well, I mean,
I just want to point out about Donald Trump.
Roger, I've got a problem with this, and I got to go in just a second. We got two more calls, but I've got a problem with this idea that the Republicans, there is this crazy idea that Republicans have to be perfect, that Democrats can do whatever they want because it's this bunch of tribes in there, but Republicans are held to this giant standard. And when anybody crosses the line, like Sarah Palin supposedly did, or Donald Trump, they have to be immediately executed. I think that if somebody's a Republican, you have to support them until you can't support them anymore. Now, you might argue that Trump can't be supported anymore. I accept that if that's your position, but, you know.
Right. I just don't believe he should have accepted that medal from that.
Well, I got to study that. I got two more calls. Thanks for the call. Thanks for the call, Kelly. Thanks for the call to Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this? Hello. You're on the air. Thanks for the call to Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Oh, Kelly, it's Kathy. It was so refreshing to hear Neil. You guys have been patting yourselves on the back all morning.
Who is? About what?
Republicans. But, you know, Kelly, when it comes to political correctness, I have to agree with you. I don't want you guys to be politically correct. I want to hear what you think.
That's
I want
exactly
to hear
right.
how bigoted you are. I want to hear all, you know, don't hold back. That's what Trump does. And it has, in my mind,
Kathy.
It has really justified.
All right, Kathy, can I ask you something? The fact that I
sure.
didn't challenge Ralph and telling me he was wrong, that makes me a bigot?
No, it doesn't. Ralph's an old guy. Well, you know, I guess I'm getting there too. But hey, he's entitled to his opinion.
That's right.
And I don't think you have to come down on him. Hello?
Yeah, no, I'm right here. I don't believe in the fundamentals of racism. I don't believe that, race, your race is very, your skin is very thin. Beyond that, we all look the same. I don't believe that your person's race defines whether they're good or bad. That's like the thing about racism, or that you're fundamentally flawed because you're in one race or the other. In addition to that, though, I do think it's important, especially on a talk show, to allow people to express their opinions. Why would it be my job to purify? How dare you, Ralph? You're no good Republican. Get rid of your racism or get out of the party. I was trying to understand where he was going with it. And I guess calling him a mulatto, the president, and a cockroach, that's insulting. I understand that.
It is. It's disgusting. But you know what? It seems to me that there are a lot of disgusting Republicans out there.
What about Democrats?
And I want to hear them. Man, just keep spitting it out, you guys, because it justifies
me
Kathy. Going to vote for Hillary, which I don't want to do.
Kathy.
You know what? But I'm going to. Just
Kathy.
Because of Trump, I am going to vote for Hillary.
Kathy.
Just because
Kathy.
It is so disgusting.
Kathy, you're in a self-righteous lather here, but what about the racism that came out of the emails, in the hidden emails that were involving, Sanders? And, there's racism in the Democratic Party, maybe even more.
Man, it's all over, Kelly. It doesn't. It's not. There are independents that are racist. And, it's all over this country. It's shameful. It's too bad. But that's how people are. People are different. And, if you're racist, I don't think you should be politically correct. Spit it on out. I want to hear it. I want to know who you are. Don't hide it behind political correctness. So, anyhow,
thanks,
good
Kathy.
For you, Neil. And Kelly, you did the right thing. It's fine. Neil was just, he's a great talker. I love listening to him.
Yeah, well, Neil's wonderful. He's, I apparently don't measure up to his level. I'm a coward, but other than that.
Well, I wouldn't even begin to tell you what my husband thinks of you. So, okay. But I enjoy listening. Hey, take care, Kelly.
Thanks, Kathy. Have a great day. All right. You disagree with Neil, you're a coward. Neil, you're really full of yourself, in my opinion, but here's a call. Maybe it's Neil again. Thanks for the call, Neil. Is it Kelly here? Who's this?
This is John.
Hey, John. Good morning to you. Thanks for calling in. What's up?
Thanks. I didn't have a problem with what Ralph said, but I would like Neil is a weenie. I think that he's just a crybaby.
Okay, here's my problem with political correctness. It gives you the right on certain topics to go and judge other people and trash them and dismiss them and say, you're not really worthy to be a human being. I think everybody's allowed to have their opinion. That's what I try to do on the show and Foster. And I don't have a problem with Neil calling up and telling me I'm wrong. I'm a little bit shocked that he thinks that I'm a coward because I didn't do what he would do,
Well, just like you said, you come on the radio every day for 3 hours or 2 hours, whatever it is. And, you put it all out there. So, and is Neil like a taxi driver or something? He's always on the phone and driving his car at the same time.
He sounds like a trucker, doesn't he?
Golly.
I think
I'm going to let you go.
Okay, thanks for the call, John. Good call. I think that Neil is commuting. 7:34, Neil. Neil, you're politically correct. And the sad thing is that you think you're beyond political correctness. I think it's a beautiful thing to allow other people to believe what they want. Because, all of these people that get attacked for not being politically correct, they don't, and they get sent to re-education camps. Sometimes they get fired, whatever. Most people don't really change their minds. They just stop talking about it. 735 AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523 1450. And, oh man, great song here. We'll be right back. You want weird news or you just want to talk about being a moral coward? We'll be right back. Hey, it's Kelly.
Hello, Kelly?
Yes.
It's Ralph. I thought I'd call you back and give you a chance to get on the political correct side. You're taking a beating. go ahead and chastise me. I'll go ahead and take it. No problem. I'll tell you what, Kelly. I went 12 years of school here in Las Cruces. Never went with a black. I joined the military, and I never served with one black. The 509 Bombardment Wing.
Ralph, this is not on the air.
Squadron. Didn't have one black
Ralph,
in it.
Ralph, this is not on the air.
Oh, okay. I'll call you back so you can get yourself off the hook.
Oh, I don't.
And you can chew me out.
Oh, come on, man. I thought what you said was entertaining. I think the president is a cockroach, not because he's black, but just because he's an idiot. And the mulatto thing, I didn't quite understand, but you can call up in 2 minutes.
Okay.
Bye. All right. Thanks. Well, Ralph called up and offered to take the heat off me. But I mean, this is one of the things about having a show. I mean, when you interact with people, what should it be like? I mean, I like talking about ideas. You know, I love hearing what other people think. I'm disappointed a lot of times and finding out that people are very passionate about things. A lot of times have not thought very deeply at all. That's just their personality. But if somebody calls up and says something that is interpreted by some or perhaps many people to be racist, do I have a duty to challenge that person, to stop that person in their tracks, to confront and force them to capitulate, to change their evil ways? Oh, I don't have a problem with the idea of challenging somebody who's a racist. And so when I was listening to Ralph, I was kind of wondering where he was going with it. I thought it was kind of a sociological explanation for how people that were mulatto. He made it sound like mulattoes, blacks are over here, whites are over there. People in the middle are kind of lost. They're not accepted by anybody. And then he connected it to, I guess, as Neil was saying, he connected it to incompetence in the office. And I was sitting there thinking about it. Do you think I had a duty to confront Ralph and put him in his place? I mean, I really don't think, I mean, to me, racism is you look at someone's genetic makeup and you say they're inferior because of that. Now, on the alternative, I think that out of culture and society comes a lot of different ways of thinking about things. And, dealing with stuff. So, but I, you know, anyway, so, but anyway, 523-1450, if you think I missed an opportunity to go after according to Neil, I exhibited just out and out cowardice. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Kelly, it's Ralph.
Ralph.
Get me off the hook. Go ahead and be political correct.
Well, no, but
say
I mean,
whatever you wish.
I mean,
I've heard it. Over and over again, I lived in Wichita Falls, Texas. I know what prejudice is. Okay.
All right. Well, no,
Explain
but I.
Yourself.
It, no, I'm just going to ask you so you can explain yourself a little bit here.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Go ahead.
with the mulatto thing, it sounded to me like when you were talking about mulattoes that they were a group of people that wasn't really embraced by any other group. Is that right?
Correct. Correct. That's correct. Mulatto, as I understand it, is the correct nomenclature for half white, half black.
Right.
That is the way I was brought. I don't know if it's an insulting word, not to me, because that's the correct nomenclature. If somebody is insulted from it, well, I have no control over that.
All right. So Neil says that you're a racist. What do you say to him? The things that you said about Obama were racist.
Yes, I am a racist because I hate the Japs, because I saw this Jap take a little baby out of a Filipino pregnant woman with bayonet rifle and pitch him over his head, and then there was another about 10, 15
all right,
little
so,
kids trying to touch
right,
that
okay.
baby in the air.
Okay, so
and
you,
then when they drop him, Ralph, they stab him in the and I hate the Japanese
all right,
race,
okay,
and
but,
that makes me a racist.
Ralph, but you wouldn't say that every person is evil. You encountered some bad soldiers in the military when you were in war.
Exactly.
Okay, all right,
exactly.
Then you're all right. So anyway. Thanks for the call. I'm running out of time. Anything else you want to add to this?
Chastise me.
Well, I mean, if
you're politically correct, get the people off your back. You've got to call me something bad.
Well, let me think about it. Let me see if I can come. All right. Thanks for calling it. I'll talk
to
you later.
I tried.
All right. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye. Neil, you're judgmental in your PC. But I'm proud of you for bringing the PC movement into the Republican Party. All right. Florida, I got a couple of stories here because I think that it's important that I take my duty serious. Speaking of duties that I should be ashamed and don't want to be a coward to not confront, weird news. Florida alligator caught stealing watermelon. Photo shows gator crawling into canal with watermelon clamped in its jaws. And there's a picture of it there. Florida. I had a whole thing set up for Weird Florida. I was going to do one, but there are many great stories here. Florida alligators are known for eating many things, turtles, birds, and this occasionally humans. But one alligator recently snapped in a photo by a Florida Agricultural Crimes Intelligence Unit officer. Seems to have a sweet tooth, or maybe he's a vegetarian. So, all right. Now, here is another story, which is totally bizarre. A health food inspector goes into a South Florida diner, and while he's looking around saying there's a lot of insect evidence, a cockroach falls onto his iPad.
Being surprised for a state health inspector last week when a roach fell from the ceiling during an inspection.
Oh, my. In fact, state records indicate inspectors showed up to several restaurants last week based on your complaint.
Local 10 investigator Jeff Feinseer has what you need to know in tonight's Dirty Dining Report.
Can we talk to somebody about a roach issue, though?
No, there is no longer the roach issue because that was taken care of.
It happened inside Argenti Pizzeria McNabb in Tamarack last week. Here's the violation straight off the inspection. Quote, observed one live roach falling from the ceiling onto inspector's iPad while conducting the inspection. And that was far from the only one.
In fact, one fell from the ceiling?
Yeah, it was a guy, right? That's what Channel 10 said.
A guy?
Yeah, it says it fell on his iPad.
Or her iPad. I don't think that's the issue.
There wasn't even a case of that incident.
Inspectors were here unannounced and found 28 violations based on a complaint. Quote, live roaches too numerous to count, found under a sink, under a reach-in cooler, on the floors, on takeout containers and pans. Roach egg casings were found in a sink. There was roach excrement on the walls.
I don't want to talk about it. It's okay. Thank you.
Okay.
You made it.
We moved to Hollywood inside this Marathon gas station at 25th and Sheridan. There's a Dunkin' Donuts.
All right. So no acceptance of the fact that a roach fell onto the health inspector's iPad. I'm thinking more about this thing. All right. So when Neil hears something, somebody say something, does he confront them or her? Or is it only if they're in the GOP? Not sure. Very curious. Do you like to be around people that confront you? But by the way, I mean, my approach to life is I try to accept people as they are. Now, if somebody's a pedophile or, there's certain things that I would confront on the spot. But I mean, generally speaking, I try to let people have their own opinions and I try not to put up a stand. But I mean, anyway, then I've got this show, so there's a different standard for the show, isn't there? Wavelength here, 748, Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523, 1450, and 805-6180. We got a call, and we'll come back and get that call. It's Kelly.
Good morning. Good morning.
Antonio, what's up, brother?
How you doing? Another beautiful day, thanks to the mighty one.
Yeah, we're off the air, so but you want to say something on the air or off the air?
On the air, it's fine.
So what's the latest, man?
Well, to Lubbock, and we're here in Cruces taking care of a doctor's appointment, and I just wanted to call and give a comment. But
how's Lubbock?
Really love you and appreciate you guys.
Oh, thanks, man. So how's Lubbock treating you?
Very good. It's hard getting settled and everything's more expensive, but we have planned for 2 years to move out there, and it finally happened. And the gas is cheaper.
Yeah, I'm sure it is, yeah. Man.
Yeah. Yeah, but I miss hearing you every morning, that's for sure.
I appreciate it, but I am on the internet. I mean, I'm live, you know, live on the internet.
Okay, I'm going to have to tell my daughter how to get on that so she can hook me up with you on the internet.
I appreciate it, man. So is there a lot more work out there?
Yes, you know, people work there at the stores, at the mall, spending money, happy, because it does something to your self-esteem when you work.
Yeah.
And these people that are on food stamps and waiting for cash assistance and all that, you know, they're always numb on drugs and don't want to do anything. So it's good to see that people do care about working and priority in life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and there's a lot to do with family, so we're very happy. And do you remember my daughter, Hadassah?
Yeah, of course.
She got accepted to that nursing program in Levelland, and it's 20 minutes away from our house.
Wow,
so,
nice job.
She has orientation August 28th, and we're excited for that.
Well, that's fantastic, man. Congratulations.
Yeah, and then my son, Larry, the youngest boy, he's been in the Navy a year now, and he loves it.
Oh, that's good. What is he doing?
He's up on the deck of the guiding the planes. If they crash, they fire rescue. If they go over, they rescue the pilot. So it has a prop title, and I forgot the name of it, but aviation something. And he's on the USS Lincoln.
Wow, how exciting, man. Must be loud.
Yeah, so we're very proud of him and proud of our daughter, you know, that our two youngest broke the curse of the drugs and getting in trouble, prison, all that stuff.
Wow, that's fantastic, man. You got to be very proud.
Yeah, we sure are. And so how have you been and keeping busy, I guess, huh?
Yeah, I've been, you know, it's as much work as you want to take on, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's good. That way on payday, you have a smile to pay the bills.
Yeah, that's the theory anyway. Well, we're just at, what are we going to talk about?
I wanted to Neil and Ralph.
Okay.
And
That is kind of an interesting question because I don't believe in trying to filter people's speech, but on the other hand, there is a time to stand up to people. So there is kind of a gray area, I guess. But we're on the air.
Okay.
O'Connell. Folks, we've got a call here. It's Antonio, and Antonio wanted to weigh in on the debate between Neil, myself, and Ralph. What are you thinking, Antonio?
Good morning, Las Cruces. I wanted to thank you, Kelly, that for your program. I've always learned things from you, and I want to thank you that even if you don't agree with somebody's ideas, they're mine. And I think that we can't be like the Democrats want us to be, and
and control freedom of speech. You know, they want to take our guns away. They want to take our ammo. Now they want us to keep our mouths shut while they're prejudiced. So I think that some people are bigots, and of course we have a tyrant in the White House. But how come it's okay for blacks to speak against whites or Mexicans? And look at like what Oprah says and all those things, and it goes right past the media. And you know, what about that? Why aren't people speaking up to them? And again, I think that freedom of speech is very important. And I like the way you've handled people in situations where I don't think that it's your duty to be like a big brother and say, hey, you can't say that. But I've heard you, if somebody says a bad word, you'll step in and say, hey, that's not allowed. And I think that you have done your duty the whole time. And at the same time, if somebody has a different idea or opinion, you have respected that. And I really admire that about you.
Thanks, Antonio. I really appreciate that. Well, anything else?
That's it. Just keep up the good work. And as always, we love you. And God bless you and your show. And God bless Las Cruces.
And may God be with you in your travels, Antonio.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, bye. All right, folks. Well, that's nice to hear. I wish, well, maybe we need Neil in the studio every day to be a censor so that I'm apparently out of touch with how things should be done. Everybody needs someone that they answer to. Maybe mine is Neil. Okay, speaking of which, here is Trump. Here is the president chastising Trump.
Thank you. Question is Margaret Brennan.
This sounds like a total setup question to me, but maybe I'm just paranoid.
Thank you, Mr. President. Given the Republican nominee's recent comments about the Khan family and his statement that if present, he would consider recognizing Russia's annexation of Crimea, does it make you question his fitness to be president? And secondly, sir, on Libya, you've said in the past that the worst mistake of your presidency may have been your failure to plan for the aftermath of that 2011 NATO intervention in Libya. Do you see your new decision to bomb ISIS there as a direct result of that?
Yes. I think the Republican nominee is unfit to serve as president. I said so last week. And
all right. So isn't this just way beyond the pale? I mean, what Trump has been charged with, amongst other things, is relatively minor stuff, having a bad temper, insulting people. And so our president has to stand up to Trump because of this and say to the party, even though he's the head of the other party and he's got a vested interest in the outcome of this, that it's up to the GOP to take out Trump. That alone makes me want to support Trump, because I think this president has been a terrible person in terms of building racial division. We're more racially divided than we've ever been for the last 50 years, the last 40 years. And he's the most biased person I've ever seen in public office. And yet he acts like he's above it all. And he's just giving us the pure words of God. It is terrifying in my book.
And he keeps on proving it. The notion that he would attack a Gold Star family that had made such extraordinary sacrifices on behalf of our country. The fact that he doesn't appear to have basic knowledge around critical issues in Europe, in the Middle East, in Asia.
All right. So the president who's failed in his job to protect Americans, to build a thriving economy, has made a porous border and many people have been hurt. Where is the president judging himself and saying, I'm going to step down. I've fallen. The president is an operative. He's a political operative. He's biased. He only supports one side of any argument. This guy Khan is a Harvard lawyer, believe it or not, and he stands up there just in this broken English. He's, you know, sounds like a peasant. talking about the gold star that he knows is not in the Constitution, even though he says it is. So Trump is the only hope to push back on this, these people. And you might say, well, that's pretty sad. Well, as in every race, you have the people that are in the race, you know, and Hillary has been, she lies. Somebody here's the sad thing. A person that I have a lot of respect for, Ron Fournier, used to run AP, Associated Press, is now at National Journal. He gets up there and says, besides, even though Hillary's a pathological liar, I'm going to support her. And I'm just thinking, what kind of a, you know, I mean, seriously, who does that? I think that's what's at risk here. All right. So Paul Ryan in the fight for his life, he's trying to beat Rob Nalen. Paul Ryan is a globalist. I mean, he's not a conservative. So you want to keep your eyes on that. Obama sends $400 million to buy hostages back, even though it's against the law. But the real problem is Donald Trump. Anyway, 7:59, Kelly O'Connell, thanks for listening in. And we'll do it again tomorrow. Have a great day. AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523, 1450 for tomorrow on KOBE. Have a great day. Ciao. Kelly? It's Kelly?
Kelly, are you there?
Yeah, this is Kelly.
This is Donna O'Daniel.
Donnie,
what's up? I was wondering if...